Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is a podcast from 720 to go.
We're
WGN Radio.
The voices in your head.
From Him and Hers, Life After Dark, it's the Steve and Johnny Show.
Hello again, everybody. Dan Shagrew, the producer for the Steve and Johnny Show, welcoming you in to another edition of our podcast. One of my favorite actors is Samuel Jackson, because Samuel Jackson is the coolest human being on the face of the earth. Everything he says, every movie he does, there's just like nothing the man can do wrong because he's just so cool. Well, I think we've got a guy here who can give him a run for his money. In this clip, we talked to Dwayne Eddy, and I think you'll agree he's just also got that very cool vibe to him. In this clip, we actually start after a caller asked Dwayne if he had ever crossed paths with Buddy Holly.
I did. We actually stood backstage one day and swapped guitars.
Oh.
And he played my Gretsch that I had in those days, the Chet Atkins Gretsch, and I played his Fender. And then we stopped and looked at each other and started broke out laughing. And he says, "You look silly with that." And I says, "You don't look right either." You know. So we swapped back, and no, we did his last big bus tour together.
Oh,
really?
Really?
Yeah. In 1958.
So that was just before the ending of the Winter Dance Party tour.
Right. Yeah. Mm. Well, it was in late 58.
Mm-hmm.
And we were out for about 6 or 7 weeks and played all over the country. And it was one of my first tours, either my first or second tour I'd done with the bus tours,
mm-hmm.
the Irvin Feld Show of Stars, they called them. And he'd just gotten married at the time, so he drove everywhere because insurance purposes, he couldn't bring his wife on the bus. So.
Mm.
He and the Cricket, my guys would ride with the Crickets sometimes, Steve Douglas and Mike Bernamani, but I always rode the bus, but saw him every night at the show and watched him and spent a birthday with him, one of his birthday, on that tour. And then I went on to work, I think, the Apollo in New York the Brooklyn Fox and so forth, and he went on to do some other things. I guess he went home for a while
mm-hmm.
for Christmas, and then he went out on that ill-fated tour in January.
Mm-hmm.
And
here in the Midwest.
February,
yeah. Was that the Apollo engagement? Was that when you've told the story in some of your appearances about when you did 3:30 Blues?
Yeah.
At the Apollo.
Yeah, we weren't really knocking them out too much, and I'd done a couple of my hits, and they had polite applause and everything, and then so I said we moved it up in the show. We always do it in the show, but I moved it up a couple songs, and I said let's just do 3:30 Blues now. So we did, and a guy came out of the audience and reached up to shake hands with me, and the whole place just went exploded, you know. It was, mm-hmm. and it was okay from then on.
I know we've told you this before, but you've got to write the book, Dwayne, because for people who haven't heard some of our previous conversations with Dwayne, you actually have some of the briefcases from some of the tours that you did with all the memorabilia and stuff.
Well, yeah, what happened was that I'd buy a new briefcase, and I'd go out on tour, and after about 3 or 4 months, it'd be full of stuff, you know, and junk and papers, and I didn't want to throw them away and clean it out. So I'd just bring it home and leave it and buy a new briefcase. So I got about 8 or 9 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And
when's the last time you looked at any of them?
It's been quite a while, although Deed mentioned them yesterday, as a matter of fact, saying we need to get in there and clean those out and throw them away.
Throw them away? No. Deed, no. No,
not the stuff. The briefcase. She said they're kind of getting a little rotten.
I said we put them briefcases up on eBay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a thought.
Yes.
You know, not to change the subject, but I could, but to change the subject, if I may, for a minute.
You signal, sure. So go right ahead.
I just, you know, I couldn't help thinking when I was listening to that weather report, that those, and the traffic report and everything, that there's guys out there working on the roads in this low 20s temperature.
Yep.
Oh, with a wind chill in the single digits.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the... what did she say? Or he said 19 degree or 19 mile an hour wind or something?
Yeah. I think it's called bad karma.
Well, those poor guys, they're heroes, I'll tell you.
Absolutely. Hey, do we know how to have a good time in Chicago or what?
Man, we need to play somewhere along the line later tonight, maybe play something to warm them up, because there's probably somebody's got a radio on down there.
Absolutely, yeah.
They're working. Yeah. Well, I salute them, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Doing that.
Let's jump back to another phone call. Ray in Arlington Heights, you're on WGN Radio with Dwayne Eddy.
Thank you, Steve and Johnny. Dwayne, it's a thrill to talk to you.
Thank you.
You did a song long ago that always intrigued me called Desert Rant. And I have two questions. What went into that? Did you write it? How did it come to you? And number two, at the very beginning, is that a guitar?
No, at the very beginning, it was a bow bass, an upright bass. I can't think, that's the only name I know for it, but it's acoustic upright bass, regular big bass fiddle. And the guy bowed it and played those notes right at the intro. And it's just a blues thing I wrote, and it just sounded kind of funky, so we called it Desert Rat.
Why did you pick the name?
Pardon?
Why did you pick that name?
Well, that's where I lived. And I lived in the desert. And we had a few desert rats wandering around there. And that's an old expression for guys that used to go out and prospect and hunt for gold and with their burrows and their pick and shovel. And they found some, too, there in the Superstition Mountains outside of Phoenix. And... the Lost Dutchman mines there and everything, but they called those old guys desert rats. So we just sort of pictured a guy ambling along through the desert with his, you know, leading his burrow, and thought the music kind of fit that image.
Wow. There's an interesting email. This is from Joe from Milwaukee. He says, I remember Dwayne Eddy in Vietnam playing for us guys in 1970 or 71 and just wanted to say thank you.
Well, it's my place to say thank you to him for being there. I'll tell you, those guys were fantastic. Yes, I did. I spent Thanksgiving 1970 at Benoit Air Base. Had a great Thanksgiving dinner, and that began the tour. And I stayed there for 4 or 5 weeks and traveled all over the country, did for every branch of the service, including a new group called the SEALs at that time.
Huh.
And that I met down there at the Navy base down south in Tui. And I worked in Nang, and I even worked a forward fire base one night. And one evening, and I'm standing there on the back of a truck and playing for a whole bunch of guys and doing my show, and I look over off to the side and I see a file of guys heading out into the jungle, and hopefully all of them came back that night, and it was very real, and I tell you, those guys were doing a fantastic job. Every one of them. I mean, of course, back home here, we read all the bad press and everything, but they were knocking themselves out and doing a great job.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I enjoyed that more than anything.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you would say that, Dwayne, because we've talked with an even number of performers that have been over and entertained the troops in Iraq, and this crosses all political lines. People who support our reasons for being there, people who don't support our reasons for being there, but everyone we've talked for supports the troops. And
you know, it's honored to be there to perform for them.
And they've said that it is absolutely the best performing experience they've ever had in their lives.
Well, you kind of got a captive audience, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
And they're not going to go anywhere. No, I'm kidding, but they are an enthusiastic bunch of people, and I just had some great experiences. And, you know, excuse me, just met some wonderful people, some great guys, and I always feel safe when I'm with the military.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like it doesn't matter what's going on. If anything happens, they're going to look out for me.
Yeah. Walter's listening this morning in Ames, Iowa, and he wants to know, yes or no, is it true that you did not know that Rebel Rouser was in the soundtrack of the Forrest Gump movie?
That is true. I did not know. Deed and I took our grandson to see it, and we're sitting there in the theater, and all of a sudden, it came on, you know? My grandson jumped up and screamed out in the audience, screamed out in the quiet theater. He said, that's my grandpa. He was about 6 or 8 at the time.
And that's when Forrest is running.
Yeah.
When we hear Rebel Rouser.
Yeah.
Right. Some people even call it the running song. And it was a... as the guy told me, he says it's the longest cue in the movie. In other words, they played more of it than any other song in the movie.
Yeah.
Because it went from that scene where he was being chased in the pickup all the way into where he became a football player.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And
I remember the night that we had Tom Hanks on the show to talk about That Thing You Do, that wonderful movie that he did. And of course, he was Forrest Gump. And I remember he was giddy, absolutely giddy at the thought that you were going to be on the show later on in the evening. We offered him the opportunity to speak with you. He said, I can't. I will be a blithering idiot. It was so funny. I thought, Tom Hanks?
Well, I'm the same way about him, so.
Yeah, wow.
I wouldn't know what to say, except, man, you're just great.
Yeah.
You're fabulous. I love you.
The preceding was a production of 720 to Go.
Stephen Johnny, Life After Dark plays live Monday mornings starting at 2. Then Monday through Thursday nights after the news at 11 on 720 WGN, Chicago.